I'm standing in Westminster Abbey, in what we call the ambulatory. Imagine a horseshoe-shaped passage surrounding the great altar platform and the shrine of Edward the Confessor. On the north side of this stone tunnel, there's a tiny chapel, Our Lady of Pew. The whole of the abbey is royal space, the place of coronations, and of the burial of queens and kings. Here, though, there's a very particular royal association. We know that King Richard II came here after the collapse of the Peasants' Revolt. We know that. We know some stories and legends too, that the wonderful Wilton Diptych, now in the National Gallery, was once here, or that this is where Richard II pledged all England as a dowry to the Virgin Mary. This is a place of pilgrimage to this day, a place of prayer, a place where we reflect on the life and witness of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Our Lady. We beseech you, O Lord, pour your grace into our hearts, that as we have known the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, by the message of an angel, so by his cross and passion, we may be brought to the glory of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favoured one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
Although the Feast of the Annunciation almost always falls during Lent, we're used to hearing this story in Christmas carol services. It's a fundamental moment in our salvation history, which in our everyday Christian imagination is one pregnant with joy, comfort, and hope. But the first half of Luke's narrative is a story of considerable uncertainty, tension, and risk. Many poets and artists have played on the moment between Gabriel's greeting and Mary's yes, as she pondered the full extent of what this so-called greeting might mean. The early 12th century St. Bernard of Clairvaux addresses Mary in a homily, "Why do you delay? The world waits upon your answer." Even the salutation with which the archangel greets Mary might be considered ambiguous. In the Gospels, it's only used elsewhere as Judas prepares to hand Jesus over in the Garden of Gethsemane, and by the soldiers as they mockingly cry, "Hail, King of the Jews." During the 14th century, when Richard II was king and when this chapel was beautified, it became common to present images of the Annunciation and Crucifixion alongside one another. This drew upon a much earlier tradition that the 25th of March was also the date of the crucifixion, the beginning and end of Christ's earthly life occurring on the same day, part of one great cycle of salvation. St. Augustine compared the Virgin's womb to the new tomb in which Christ's lifeless body would eventually rest. In the year 1608, the Annunciation and Good Friday fell on the same day. That year, the priest-poet John Donne wrote a poem which explores some of the resonances of this seemingly strange collision, which might help us this year in particular. Juxtaposing the Annunciation and the Crucifixion, Donne writes of Mary, reclused at home, yet public at Golgotha. These stories of hope and desolation, of promise and tragedy, belong together, as Donne puts it, as in plain maps, the furthest west is east. For Mary, the Annunciation was surely the beginning of a new kind of radical openness to God's promise, as she patiently awaited its fulfillment in uncertain times and in a threatening context. She is an unmarried first century young woman, vulnerable to shame, violence, and rejection, calls to faithfully nurture God's gift. As the fragile infant Jesus comes to her, she offers us an example of care, tenderness, and wisdom, which our world needs so very desperately. Her yes is for us and for our salvation. It is a cry of remarkable strength, not shying away from the pain which may come, from the cost of what her son's future will hold. In these days, she is reclused at home, dealing with her remaining questions and doubts, but caring day by day for that amazing gift which is growing within her. She is to be public at Golgotha, not fleeing in the face of tragedy, just being there at home or in public, open to God's future, confident in God's promises. Her own faith, supported by the amazing faithfulness of God, which she has learnt in the most vividly personal way in this remarkable scene. How may this be? Mary asks the angel. In this question, she speaks for many of us today, reclused at home, or feeling uncomfortably public, exposed in the Golgotha of suffering, or fear, or caring for others. Mary encourages us to take a new step of faith and hope, to recommit to a radical openness to God's eternally fresh promises, that of Christ's kingdom, revealed in human weakness, there will be no end.
The anthem, See, the Word is Incarnate, was composed by a former Westminster Abbey organist, Orlando Gibbons, to a text by Gabriel Goodman, a former canon and dean of Westminster. It takes us through the whole sweep of salvation history, beginning with the Annunciation, through both the pain of Calvary and the joy of Easter, to the final bruising of the serpent's head and heaven laid open to all believers.
Rejoice!
And as we look from the Annunciation through the agony of the cross to the hope of life renewed at Easter, we pray in our own difficulty and distress for the gift of hope. O God, the author and fountain of hope, enable us to rely with confident expectation on your promises, knowing that the trials and hindrances of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed, and having our faces steadfastly set towards the light that shines more and more to the perfect day, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
As our Saviour taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. As we seek God's blessing, let us pray that it may rest especially on the sick, the anxious, and all those who now work so hard to keep us safe and keep us well. Christ, the Son of God, born of Mary, fill you with his grace to trust his promises and obey his will. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen.